What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Street Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Dwelly. And right out of the gate, I want to apologize to you guys about something. Normally, I try to put out this show every Sunday. We get our rides recorded for the vlog. We get our talk recorded so we can get them put together and get them up by Sunday morning. This episode was a little bit different. It took a little bit of time. I got a call a couple of weeks ago asking if I wanted to go to South Carolina to pick up my kids for the summer. Clearly, that was a resounding yes. I jumped in my car Wednesday. That was on the Tuesday. I jumped in my car Wednesday morning, and I drove the 17 hours straight through to go pick them up. See, this was a direct answer to prayer. I'd been missing my kids something awful recently, and I asked God to make a way for us to be together for a while, you know, more than just a week at a time. Within the next few days after that, their mom and I were talking. Next thing you know, boom, I'm in the car, headed south. So I drove down, you know, a Wednesday, spent a Thursday down in South Carolina with my kids, researching some places for us to start Revival Biker Church. Yeah, that's right, we're going to be starting a biker church. And then got back in the car at 2 a.m. on Friday, drove 20 hours back to Maine with my kids. They were superstars and they were rock stars in the car, not even a complaint. So needless to say, I've been a little bit busy. We've been adjusting to life here as a house that I'm not used to having little kids in anymore, which breaks my heart. But here we are, glorifying God, praising his awesome name for the things that he does and that he does for us. So on to this week's message. I want you to grab your Bibles. We're going to head over to John chapter 15, verse 7 through 11. That's where we're going to hang out this week. So take some time, get on over there, and we'll meet you there in a second. If you've been with us for the past few weeks, we've been talking about discipleship. You've probably realized following Jesus isn't for the faint of heart, and it's not for the uncommitted. The Lord spoke about denying ourselves, bearing our cross, and following him. He spoke of the level of love that we have to have for him, love that exceeds all others and all other pursuits in our lives. We're reminded that these are not mere suggestions for our consideration, but genuine expectations for everyone who follows Christ. I think you're going to agree with me here that being a disciple of Christ is serious business. As we've talked over previous weeks and gone over some of the other scriptures about being a disciple, some of you might feel a bit overwhelmed and unprepared. You might be questioning to yourself, how is this even possible? And you know what? That's okay. Everything we've discussed up till this point goes against human nature and the desires of the flesh. Everything that we've talked about so far is a struggle that we're supposed to have. And I hope you understand that you will never be successful following the Lord in your own ability. Never. While our flesh doesn't want us to follow the rules and be led by the Spirit, there is hope though. Jesus knew this was going to be difficult for us. In fact, he knew it was going to be impossible apart from him. John 15 and 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who live in me, while I live in them, will produce a lot of fruit. But you can't produce anything without me. Jesus is revealing the certainty of being fruitful in him. But he also reveals the requirement, living in him. Apart from Christ, we can't do anything. But through him, we can bear much fruit. If you struggled with the previous episodes, and I hope today will provide some encouragement for you that you're going to need to completely follow Christ. While it's impossible within our own abilities, you can be fruitful in Christ. You can enjoy great confidence serving the Lord. While living for Jesus is going to have its share of difficulties, we can rest assured that we have an advocate that goes before us. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? John 15:7 says, if you live in me and what I say lives in you, then ask for anything you want and it will be yours. While we can be confident in serving the Lord, he gives us some conditions if we want to be successful disciples. The first seems pretty obvious, but super important to our success. We have to abide or live in Christ and allow His words to abide or live in us. This involves our daily communication, our daily communion with Him through prayer, Bible study, and meditation. We can't expect to be victorious in our walk with the Lord if we're not spending quality time, plain and simple. 1 John 2:27 says, "The anointing you received from Christ lives in you. You don't need anyone to teach you something else. Instead, Christ's anointing teaches you about everything. His anointing is true and contains no lie. So live in Christ as He taught you to." Jesus speaks of abiding, living in Him. He also speaks of abundance. Those who live in Him and in His Word enjoy the abundance of Christ. We can guarantee that Jesus hears us when we come to Him with our righteous needs. Ask, and it will be given unto you. That gives us great confidence when serving the Lord. He is ready and willing to supply whatever we need as we're striving to serve Him. Now, don't misunderstand that text. We must keep it in context. He's dealing with those who are abiding in Him and in His Word. He doesn't promise we will immediately have every request that we ask answered. He doesn't guarantee us $1 million or a fancy sports car. Nope, not even a new Harley, guys. Sorry. This is not support text for the prosperity gospel. If we're abiding in Christ, our desires will be consistent with His desires for us. And we're promised His help and guidance in attaining those things. John 15:8 says, "You give glory to my Father when you produce a lot of fruit, and therefore show that you are my disciples." This verse is directly tied to the last verse. If we're living in Christ and enjoying His abundance, this is the consequence of such behavior. First and foremost, God is glorified. He's pleased with the life of a disciple and the life that the disciple leads. Such surrender and obedience always brings glory and honor to God. He is exalted, not us, He is exalted through our lives as we make Him the number one, the priority, and point others to Him. Shouldn't that be the desire of every believer anyway, to glorify God? Jesus shows us living for Him like He shows us the result of producing a lot of fruit. This brings glory to God and confidence to those that believe. Those who are seeing fruit produced want to produce more fruit. Makes sense, right? Most farmers, if they produce a little bit, they want to produce more. If we draw close to Christ and commit to living in Him, we're going to be fruitful. Jesus also reveals that our spiritual produce is a character trait of disciples. If genuine growth is being seen in your life, you can be considered a disciple of Christ. When Satan seeks to discourage you, consider your growth in the Lord or your fruit and rest in the Lord. He hasn't asked us to perform miracles to be considered disciples, just to be fruitful and grow in Him. Verse 9 and 10, Jesus speaks about the great foundation we have through Him. Verse 9 says, "I have loved you the same way that my Father has loved me. So, live in my love." I don't think that we think about this enough, but when we do, it's really overwhelming. There can be no doubt of the Father's love for the Son. Jesus declares that His love for us is the same as His Father's love for Him. Love is a great motivator. We will go out of our way to make great sacrifices for those that we love. Think about it. What would you do for your children? I personally would do anything for my kids. The love Jesus has for us should motivate us to serve Him with every fiber of our being. He loved us enough to bear our sin and endure the judgment that we deserve. I don't know about you, but I would do anything for someone who loved me that much. Let's look at the last part of that verse again. So live in my love. That's a simple command, and yet it's so profound. The love of Christ is consistent with the love of God. We are obligated to continue His love. This involves living in Christ. We're supposed to live our lives according to His great love. We're to submit ourselves to the Lord, seeking to please Him in every action of our lives. We have to strive to return that great love that we've received. Our love of Jesus should be stronger today than it was the minute we got saved. Is yours? I know I struggle with that sometimes. I kind of try to wrap my head around that and remind myself of that sometimes. You know, is our love for Jesus stronger today than it was when we got saved? The longer we serve God and walk with Him, the stronger our love is supposed to be, and it should be growing. We also have to consider the love of Christ. It's sacrificial and unrelenting. He loved us even when we were unlovable. Do you guys love people that are unlovable? He died for the sins of those who despised and rejected Him. His love compelled Him to suffer in our place, taking the guilty verdict when He was righteous and holy. We were guilty. He was righteous and holy. We're obligated to love as Christ loved, and that includes our love for other people. As He loved those of the world, we too must love the world and those who aren't yet saved. This is something that the Christian church, the American Christian church, misses the mark on so many times. They want to love people after they get cleaned up. They want to love people after they get saved. And I don't know about you, but my Jesus met me in the hot mess of a dumpster fire that was my life before any cleaning up took place. He met me in my worst, at the worst, and He's the one that did the cleaning up. He loved me that much. And when was the last time you loved someone like that? It's going to sting. We might want to give that a second. All right, verse 10 says, if you obey my commands, you will live in my love. I have obeyed my Father's commandments, and in that way, I live in His love. Now, I'm sure that we, like the disciples then, questioned how such love is even possible. How do we, living in these bodies that are so prone to sin and selfishness, love like Christ loved? How do we abide in His love? He reveals that we need to keep His commandments. Now, I realize that requires a lot, but there's comfort in the sacrifice. We can commit to following the Lord, living in Him and in His Word, and we will be able to be on our way and keep His commandments if we do that. If we're to love like Christ loved, we have to walk with Him. We have to grow and mature in our faith, and our ability to love is going to increase when we do that. As we mature in Christ, our need to please Him is going to grow as well. We are going to find ourselves desiring His will for our lives more than we desire to please our own flesh. It is possible to live a life that pleases the Lord and bears witness to Him. Abiding in the love of Christ provides great strength and advantage for the disciple. John 14:21 says, whoever knows and obeys my commandments is the person who loves me. Those who love me will have my Father's love, and I, too, will love them and show myself to them. John 15:11 says, I told you this so that you will be as joyful as I am, and your joy will be complete. This should put to rest any concern a disciple might have. Jesus declares it is possible to possess His joy. His joy, not our joy, Jesus' joy. You can possess that. Yeah, such joy can't be adequately expressed or described. He doesn't say that serving him is going to be without adversity or conflict, though. Seriously. The walk of a Christian is hard. He doesn't say that there won't be any sacrifices along the way. But he does say his joy will remain in us. Regardless of what we face, we have Christ's joy in our hearts. Such joy should motivate us, even when we feel like all hope is lost. Such joy should make us share our faith, even when we fear that who we're sharing it with isn't going to receive it. Such joy should provide the strength we need to continue in our journey during times of adversity and drought. Whoo! I'm going to shout here in a minute. I'm thankful for the joy Jesus gives me. Without it, how would I ever make it through the day? Jesus wants his disciples to experience the very best he has to offer. He doesn't just offer life, but he offers everlasting life. He doesn't just speak of fruit to be produced, but he speaks of much fruit. He doesn't desire great joy, but overwhelming and abundant joy. He desires us to be filled with his joy, that overwhelming and abundant joy of Jesus Christ. That offers great encouragement to me. It isn't something that I consider lightly, and it's not something to be considered casually or casually sought after. We desperately need the joy of Christ to have confidence as we go into our mission field and as we serve him. I don't want to imply that we're able to secure our own salvation through personal sacrifice, because we can't. But think about this powerful statement regarding the joy of Christ, Hebrews 12 and 2. We must focus on Jesus, the source and the goal of our faith. He saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace brought to him. Now he holds the honored position. That's the one next to God the Father on the heavenly throne. Jesus possesses the ability to look toward the cross with joy, knowing his sacrifice would secure our salvation, my salvation. If we possess the joy of Christ in abundance, his joy can equip us and we can endure whatever comes our way. So let's wrap this up. I agree, serving the Lord requires a lot of sacrifice, okay? I've never met anyone with a sincere desire to serve the Lord who felt adequate or prepared. Those who serve him realize their inability and their inadequacy. We have to depend on Jesus for the strength and guidance that we need. He's able to equip us, and he desires our service to be fruitful, abounding in his great love and joy. So, are you struggling in your walk with Jesus? Are you growing and bearing fruit for him? Are you living in him? Do you experience his great joy in your life? If this is you, like it is sometimes me, Christ wants to help you today. He wants to equip you as his disciple. Come to him. Come to him for what you need. Drink and be filled. If you've yet to receive Christ as your Savior, I urge you to come to him by faith and salvation. Father, we love you. Thank you for your confidence that you give us to follow your example. Lord, make us your disciples. Give us a hunger to follow in your footsteps and to live through your word. Thank you for the blessing of your joy. Fill us overflowing with it so it spills over from us and onto other people. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for tuning into another episode of the Street Profits Podcast and Moto Vlog. Join us next week as we continue to discuss being a disciple for Jesus. Be blessed, guys.